Amen. It's a joy to my heart to be here. We've met your pastor. Well, the first time I think I met him was at Bob Jones University. We were both speaking together in a conference there. I'm glad to be at God's house and God's home, aren't you? Amen. And I sense a warmth here of the Lord, and I like the way you sing. And I think that pleases the Lord when we participate in it. And it's a joy. As you can tell, we're from the South. I've been in the West Indies for almost 35 years. My wife, I'd like to introduce my wife to you, and Miss Barbara Daniels. We met many years ago. Now we've been married for 44 years. The Lord's blessed us with 4 children and 12 grandchildren. And our quiver is full, and so we're grateful for the Lord's blessings, and it is such a joy to be here. I appreciate Brother Kyle, your pastor introduces Dr. Daniels. There's some titles I don't wear good. That's one of them. While we're here today, just call me Brother Johnny or Preacher, either one, all right? I just don't wear that good, especially when I get to preaching. You're going to say, where did he buy that doctor's degree? But no, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I know you do not know me, and you only have met us and heard about us as a preacher. One of the brother went to our website to say about the ministry, but I did not grow up in a Christian home. My wife and I really, is after we were married, and I was a welder by trade, working for a company called Ford Motor Company. We were carpooling with a man who loved the Lord and loved souls and got a burden for us. And I was saved as a 10-year-old boy, but I didn't walk with the Lord. I didn't grow up under the influence of Bible teaching and preaching. In my teen years, we did not live for the Lord like we should. I am grateful for God's grace and His goodness that kept us from getting our lives in sin in an area where maybe the Lord could not have used us in the way that He has. I believe there are some sins that does affect how God can use you in certain areas. And so we're grateful for His protection. But after we come to know the Lord burdened our hearts very shortly thereafter, go to the West Indies. And we've been there now for almost 35 years, and the Lord has been good to us. And we do believe the way that we'll only reach the nations of the world through the nationals. Now, I know this country is rich in its history of the gospel and great many missionaries. Matter of fact, when I first come to know the Lord, I was challenged to read biographies. And I read biographies of missionaries and men who live by faith. George Mueller. Of course, no Christian lives long. Hasn't heard of C.H. Spurgeon. And we've read missionaries of other men that God had called, Amy Carmichael. And these people burdened my heart and challenged my heart, for they had the vision that Christ gave the church, and that is that the gospel is to go to the nations, to every creature. We made ourselves available, and the Lord sent us to the West Indies. Now, through the Bible College the Lord has entrusted our local church with, we now have nationals that are actually at one time, and we right now I think there's about 18 different countries, but as many as 21 different countries. Now, that sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but you've got to realize there in the islands of the Caribbean, many of the islands have become independent, and so we do have a lot of nationals from the islands of the West Indies, but also from Africa and Zimbabwe. We do ask you to pray for the country of Zimbabwe. You hear much about it on the news. That is a needy country. We first began to go there a little over 12 years ago or more. There was a population of around 11 million people. I heard on the news just this week that over 4 million people have left that country because of a lack of food. But one of the other statistics that we found when we first went there was 70% of the people have been exposed to the AIDS virus. It's a very needed place. The gospel at one time was very present there, but it's not so today. We do have some churches that have been established there through a national pastor. His son has studied our college. His daughter is there now. And Brother Gideon was taken home to be with the Lord just a few months back, so pray for that country. Other nationals we have from South America, from Bolivia, Venezuela, and of course in Guyana. We have ministries there. And then the islands of the Caribbean have a young man from Yap, from the Micronesia Islands. And so the Lord has opened up the door, and our burden is to train the national. Now I ask you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, if you would, this morning. Your pastor asked us to come, and I really believe that we are to really to... Sometimes God will guide us through the pastor. Sometimes the pastor will come, and he'll ask us to come in and preach a mission conference. We do that quite often, and really the meetings are directed toward that of missions. Sometimes we'll go in a church and we'll preach evangelistic campaign, and it's really just to minister and to try to get the gospel to as many as unsaved as possible. Sometimes you may just do a Bible study of different things, but your pastor asked us to share with you about the work, and the video that we have will introduce you much to that. It's about a 12-minute presentation. It began when we went to Dominica, a little island of the way down in the Windward Islands, down next to Grenada. It's still a very undeveloped island. We started there, then the Lord moved us to Puerto Rico, and then, of course, we've been there now for 27 years, and He's entrusted us with a Christian day school and the Bible college, and so it'll give you a lot of information. I think we're going to have some fellowship after the morning service here, so we'll be able to answer some questions for you. And then, of course, Dr. Bell will be preaching this afternoon, and we plan to be with you the whole day, and so we will be able to answer some questions and get to know you a little bit better. So I do want to take our time that we have together this morning, and I want to talk to you. I want to read a very familiar portion of Scripture. Now, we're not going to really do a study of just necessarily these verses. What I want to do this morning is give more of a challenge and an application. And I don't have anything new to say to you, but I hope it'll be fresh. Because God did not birth this local church into existence just to be a witness in your Jerusalem only. If you read the Gospels, and then you get to Acts 1 and verse 8, He told the disciples, He said, you tarry at Jerusalem. Now that was that church. We're not to be tarrying. Pentecost has already come. But He said, after you receive power, you shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem. God birthed this local church into existence to be a witness in your Jerusalem. I do not know your outreach ministries. I'm sure you have them in your Jerusalem. But at the same time, He said, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. I emphasize the word both because He did not say, be a witness unto Me in Jerusalem and then in Judea. He didn't say that. And then after you've witnessed in all Judea, then go into Samaria. He did not say that. And then after you've witnessed in Samaria, then go into the uttermost parts of the world. He did not say that. He said both, and that meant at the same time you are witnessing in Jerusalem, you're to have a witness in Judea. And at the same time in Judea, you have a witness in Samaria. And at the same time, you have a witness in Samaria, you're to be in the othermost parts of the world. God birthed this local church into existence to be a witness to the world. May I make a statement before we read our text this morning? God is not limited by what we don't have. You say, our congregation is small. How can we reach into the world? It's not you, it's God doing it through you. You see, God doesn't need a man to do His work. God needs men and women that He can do His work through. And God is not limited by what we have. We limit by God by what we won't give Him that we do have. And when we give God all that we have, and God is God is in control of us and all that we have. God is not limited in what He can do through this church. We limit God by what we won't let Him do through us. And here I want to show you this morning one lady. We're going to look at her. She's very familiar in the Scripture. And how God used her and how God can use you. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a challenge to our heart. I don't have time to give a lot of information about the setting. You know this is right before His crucifixion. The Bible said in Mark 14, beginning in verse 3, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at me, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointments, of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box, and she poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and had been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Let's bow in prayer, and then we'll share some thoughts with you this morning. Father, we're grateful for the privilege to be in this free Presbyterian Church, this New Testament local church. Lord, you have birthed the local church into existence to do your work through, to get the gospel, the message of the death and burial and resurrection, that Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. For the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Lord, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? You know the burden of the pastor's heart, and I pray this morning that as we would speak with our human voice, that there would be another voice that would speak, that we would hear with the ears of our heart and our understanding, and it would be another voice, and that would be the voice of God through the Word of God that would speak to our hearts. We never know what you want to do in the lives of individuals that would hear this morning and listen to thy word. Lord, in my own life, we only came to you through hearing the word of God and the drawing of the Spirit. We only give you our lives when we heard the challenge that we were to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto thee. Lord, I pray that you'd speak and we'd have the attitude of one of old that said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And we'd have the submissive spirit and the willing heart, as Mary said to them that day at the marriage of Canaan, "Whatsoever he saith unto thee to do, do it quickly." May that be our attitude this morning. Be honored in our lives through this day. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I read you the story this morning, and I'm sure you're very familiar with it. There's another verse that you'll not have to turn to, but the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." I read you the story this morning, and the Holy Spirit has recorded for us this incident when Christ was anointed. And I draw your attention to the attitude of the people just for a few moments. The Bible said they murmured against her, but the Bible said they accused her as being wasteful. May I say unto you today, when you read biographies of Christians of days of old, and you read the stories of lives of men and women that God has used, when they gave God their life, when they took their hands off of their life, many times they were accused by those who knew them as being foolish or even wasteful. But may I submit unto you the verse that I read to you from Corinthians says, the natural man, the unsaved man, cannot understand spiritual things. And it tells us why. It says, because the things of God are only revealed by spiritual discernment. The world cannot understand God, nor His people, nor why we live the way we live. I mean, really, when you think about the natural man, what is attractive about living your life according to this book? But yet the Bible tells us that we are, the Word of God is to govern our life. The world doesn't understand that. And many times, I use the word carnal-minded Christians don't understand that. Now, this woman that I read to you about here in this story, the Bible tells us in John's Gospel who this woman is. She was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, whom Christ raised from the dead. The Bible tells us in this story that Mary took an ambassador box of ointment. Now, that wouldn't mean very much to me and you, because this we don't live in the times in which they lived, and so you'll need to understand a little bit about their culture and a little bit about the time to really understand the significance of what Mary did. The Bible said she took this box of ointment that was worth about, well, the Bible said here, 300 pence. Now, again, that may not be much to you and I, and we all have different types of money, and here you use the pounds and the of course, the dollar, and then you go to the West Indies. Some of the islands, they use EC money, and then every country has its own means of its money and how it's used. And so, in your mind, what I'd like you to picture, if you could, Mary takes this ambassador box of ointment, which would then, the Bible said 300 pence, but it would be worth about 1 year's earnings in her wages. Now, in your mind, if you would, here she takes this ambassador box that was worth about 1 year of a wage. Now, translate that into what you would make for 1 year. And the Bible tells us that she took this box and she broke it and anointed Jesus with it. Now, what this box would symbolize is this. That represented her entire life savings. For you see, they didn't save money like we would save money today. I don't know what means of savings you'd have, where you'd deposit it in the bank, or where you would buy and put it in the stock market, or whatever it would be. But in their day, they didn't have banks, and they didn't have stock markets. And so this was a means of earnings, or a means of savings. They would buy these precious ointment, and they would be contained in this ambassador box. Now, Mary took this box that represented her entire life savings, if you would have that, and she took it, and she broke it, and she poured it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us what it was. It was an ointment, and it would break when you broke it and opened it. It would send out a sweet-smelling fragrance. In other words, everybody in the house immediately would recognize this smell or this fragrance that filled the house. Now, Mary took this box of ointment, and she broke it, and she anointed the body of the Lord Jesus. But I draw your attention to the attitude and the actions of the people. The Bible said in verse 4, there were some that had indignation in them. Now, the word indignation is a very strong word. In the islands, and I'm sure there would be a word when you wanted to describe somebody that was mad or angry, and it was more than just being upset. I mean, they were very angry or very indignant. In the island, they had a word, vexed. And so when they'd say, he was vexed, and what you meant when they used that word, you would understand they meant that he was beyond just being upset. He was controlled by that. And this word is like that. It's a very strong word. They had indignation within themselves. Now, we know one of the Gospels says that it was Judas. But here in Mark 14, it said in verse 4, and there were some of them that had indignation within themselves. But when you go to Matthew 26, it says the disciples themselves. Now, if you could picture this setting. Now, this is right before the death, the burial, and the crucifixion of Christ. And he's in this room, the Bible tells us, he's at Simon the leper's house. The house is filled with people. Actually, it's filled with his followers, if you'd have that. And Mary takes this box of ointment, and she breaks it, and pours it all upon the Lord. And the Bible said that instead of there being a spirit of gratitude and worship, there is a spirit of indignation and accusation brought against her. That's interesting. Now, what I want to do for a few moments this morning, I want to show you three things about Mary and out of this and make a personal application if I could. I want you to look, first of all, what Jesus said about her in verse 8. Jesus said, let her alone. Now notice this. In the latter part, or the first part of verse 8, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Now again, you've got to go back and think about the times and customs of Christ's day. When a person died, it was a custom that before their body was buried, they would anoint the body with this, with these ointments and this fragrance before the body was buried. And so here we find that, I want to submit unto you that Mary had a... Why would Mary do this? Jesus said she has come... And I'll use another term. She has come before my death to anoint my body for the burying. That's amazing. That's interesting. Now, it was a custom for the body to be anointed after the death. But Jesus said, she's come before my death to anoint my body. Now, this tells me that Mary had a much more deeper understanding of the truths of the Word of God. Remember the attitude of the disciples. Remember the actions of the disciples. They were angry. They were indignant. And they accused her of being wasteful. But the Bible teaches us that Mary had a deeper understanding. He said, Mary understood if his body was going to be anointed, it must be anointed before his death, because after his death, they would not be able to anoint his body. You said, is that Bible? Yes, it is. Turn a few Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, just for a moment. Luke, chapter 23, and we've just observed the time of the crucifixion, the resurrection of Christ, and I'm sure your minds are already familiar with this time and the setting. But I want you to notice in verse 55 of Matthew chapter 23, and then we'll read a couple of verses, in Luke chapter 23, and then we'll read a couple of verses in chapter 24. Now notice, here he is, he's been on the cross, they've crucified him, they've taken him down, and you know the time in the afternoon, it's around 3 o'clock, you know the Jewish calendar, when the day begins, and the different times of the day, and then the watches of the night. But notice verse 55, and the woman also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulcher, and how the body was laid. Now notice what happened in verse 56. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. Remember what happened in Mark 14. And they rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandments. Now get your picture. Here Christ is crucified. And they take his body down. They wrap him up. They take him. They observe where they laid his body. They go back to their homes. What do? They prepare these spices and these ointments. But because of the time, and they were still under the law, they did not want to defile themselves, and by breaking the law and not being observed the Passover, they have to wait. Now, chapter 24, notice verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, there in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Now do you see why? What Jesus said in Mark 14? Here they come. They're going to anoint his body. And it's right for his body to be anointed. But they go home and they prepare the spices. And when they come back the first day of the week to anoint his body, he's not there, for he's already risen. Now you see what Jesus is saying in Mark 14. May I submit unto you that Mary understood, listen, Mary understood the truth about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ even more than the disciples themselves. How did she understand that? You see, beloved, when you understand the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, it'll affect how you live, it'll affect how you give, and how you worship and serve the Lord. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 10 just for a moment. And then we'll go back to Mark 14. How did Mary understand that? It should have been the disciples. But instead of the disciples understanding and even thanking God for what was done, the Bible said they were indignant. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, here's the same Mary mentioned in this story. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about and much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? But bidder therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. May I submit unto you this morning, beloved? Why did Mary understand spiritual things? I'm talking about understanding the Word of God. Because Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now let me make a personal application, if I can, from what all I've said to you. Here we find that there was a time when Christ was going to be crucified, and it was right for his body to be anointed. And Mary, because she understood, oh, how many times do we find our Lord teaching his disciples about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and they never got it. They never understood it. But here Mary recognized who he was, and he was going to a cross and die for our sins and her sins, and his body should be anointed, and Mary anointed his body. But people got angry. People accused her of being wasteful and foolish. And Mary was acting upon a spiritual understanding of the things of the Word of God. Now what I want to do is make a personal application from the revelation that we find about Mary in this story to us today. Because I want to submit unto you, beloved, that you cannot understand what is the church here for? Why are you here? I mean, God saved you by His grace, and I'm sure we could stand this morning and listen to testimony of the time when you come to understand who Christ was, and oh, you were dead in trespasses and sin, and you knew not the Lord, but somebody gave you a witness of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit enlightened your heart and drew you to Him, and oh, you're saved now. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now you're on your way to heaven. You can sing the songs there of the redeemed and sing about the blood, but you're still here. Why? Why are you here? You're here to be a witness. There's one commission He gave the church. Just one. And you know what that is? To give the gospel to every nation.
Amen.
To give the gospel to every creature. To give the gospel throughout the world. That's why we're here. And may I say, when you understand that truth of Acts 1:8, it'll change the way you pray. It'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you work. It'll change the way you give. Oh, how did they treat Mary? They said, she's foolish. They said, she's wasteful. I remember as a young Christian, I didn't know anything about the Word of God, but you cannot get in the Word of God without God giving you knowledge and understanding. That's just the way it works. Set at Jesus' feet. How do we set at His feet? When we get in this book, we're setting at the feet of Jesus. And as we listen to His Word, we'll get understanding. Oh, I remember as a young Christian, and oh, I realized men can only be saved. Except a man's born again, he'll not even see the kingdom of heaven. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where do people go that never hear the gospel? If a man never hears the gospel of Christ, if he dies in his sin, though he's never heard, where will he spend eternity? Oh, you begin to talk to yourself. You ever done that? Just don't answer yourself. Then you got a problem. No, but listen. I begin to ask myself, where do people go? And you have to answer yourself from the Word of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible teaches us, except a man's born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. They must hear the gospel. Oh, you say, preacher, if they never heard the gospel, they will spend eternity in hell. Now, if that reasoning is rational, think about this. Would we not be better off to turn off all Christian radio preachers? Would we not be better off to shut down all presses that print the Bible? Would we not be better off to bring in all of the missionaries and silence the gospel from being heard? Because if they don't hear, they don't have to worry whether they'll spend eternity or not without God. But oh, listen, that's not truth. That's not truth. Jesus said, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Our responsibility. You know what changed my life? When I understood that men and women and boy and girl need to hear the gospel. God birthed this church into existence to get the gospel. He'll get the gospel out through you. It's God's work. He's looking for a people that'll trust Him, that He can do His work through. Oh, the world will say, you're foolish. That's foolishness. That's wasteful. May I say unto you, that's Bible. It'll change the way you live. I remember when we were home and we built it. And you'll see on the little presentation, the first church we built in Dominica, we built it out of bamboo. Now, I don't know if you know much about bamboo, but when it dries, it burns fast. And we had a lot of opposition. There was no church up there. Well, the Catholic Church was there. People didn't have Bibles. We gave, and this is hard to believe, we're living in the 21st century. We give most of the people up there their first Bible. Because you see, if you keep men in darkness, they'll die in darkness. And we had a lot of opposition when we took the gospel up to the CARE Reserve. And you'll see it on the slides or on the little presentation. And the first building we built to meet in was built out of bamboo. And the priest would give the boys liquor to come and try to harass our services and disturb our services and drive us out. And we were in the States, and while we were gone, they burned our building down. Now, it was just bamboo, but it's where we met, okay? And we were in a mission conference. And in this mission conference, they had just bought some buses to go out in the hills and the mountains and bring in boys and girls to Sunday school to hear the Word of God. And there was a missionary there who was going to Canada, and he had an opportunity to buy some television time for about $3,000. And so the pastor said, "We're going to raise that money." And then there was another missionary there that was trying to raise the money to buy a ton of paper to print Bibles to take back with him, and that was a couple of $1,000s. And so they're going to raise that money. And while we were there, they burned our building down. And so the pastor got up and said, "We've got to help Brother Johnny to get some material to build another building." Now, they'd taken up money. They didn't have any more money. And so there's a man stood up, and he said, "I've got a shotgun." And he said, "I quit hunting." He said, "I'm going to give my shotgun." And another guy got up, and he said, "I've got a motorcycle." And this was in the Smoky Mountains. He said, "We get more snow. I ride that motorcycle half the time." He said, "I'll give my motorcycle." And people got to giving shotguns and motorcycles and cars, and we got a bird dog. You said, "What in the world are you going to do with a bird dog? Go bird hunting." No, I'm teasing. Before that meeting was over, we had 3 shotguns, 2 cars, 2 or 3 bird dogs, and a bicycle. Ah, you said, "That's foolish." No, that's not foolish. You see, God's not limited by what we don't have. We limit God by what we have that we won't give Him. God wants to do a work through His people. Why? He's more interested in getting the gospel to the nations than we are. You know, it's one thing. When my wife and I was going to church, and we were growing in the Lord, our pastor would have missionaries come by. It's kind of like I am. And he would let the missionary get up and he'd preach and he'd give a challenge. He'd talk about so many villages where they didn't have the gospel. And he'd talk about there's nobody had ever taken these people the word. They'd never heard the gospel of Christ. And he'd talk about needs. Oh, if we could buy a donkey, or we could get this, or we could print Bibles in their life, we could get them the Word of God. Then our pastor, now I'm from North Georgia. I don't know how y'all do it over here. I'll share with you how we do it there, and that's okay. Hey, I don't care how you do it, just so you get it done. Amen. And so the pastor would, in the service, he'd say, "Now we're going to have an old-fashioned altar prayer." And so we had a place, the women come down on one side and pray, and men come on the other side and pray, and everybody would pray like God was deaf. You ever heard those kind of prayer meetings? He said, "What do you mean? Oh, God, save me, I'm saved." You know? And I would go down and I'd pray something like this: "Lord, I know Christ died for the world. You love them just like you love me. Christ hung on that cross for those people in that country just like He hung on the cross for me. And Lord, I know that You died for them and You want to save them. Oh God, save them. Oh God, get them the gospel." And I'd pray something like that. And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and He said, "You hypocrite, you." I thought that's pretty good praying myself. I thought it was the guy beside me praying. "Pray louder, brother." And then the Holy Spirit showed me something. He said, "You know, you're always praying for God to send somebody there that they could have the gospel. But I've never heard you pray, and I'll be that somebody." And I'm going to tell you something. You say, "What'd you do?" I quit praying. I wasn't willing to be that somebody. And I think it's wrong to ask God to send anybody anywhere that you're not willing to be that somebody to go anywhere. Now, it doesn't mean He's going to call you, but it does mean you ought to be willing to be called. And I think it's wrong to ask God to supply a need to anybody when you're not willing to say, "God, and I'll be that channel." And you know what? That didn't happen in a church service. But it was in our home on a Wednesday night. About 1 o'clock in the morning, we said, Lord, if you'll let us, we'll be light bearers wherever you want us to go. And you know what he said? Okay. Now, you can't understand what the Great Commission is about, church, and not get involved in it and not change your life. Let me give you the very quickly. I could give you some more stuff, but let me give you something very quickly. There's something else about Mary. When she understood that truth, there was no sacrifice too great for her to make. Remember when we started the story, it told us about the ambassador box and what it represented? The scripture said 300 pence. You translate that over into our language, it was her entire life savings. I'm not telling you to give your entire life savings. I'm just talking to you about a story the Holy Spirit recorded for us in the book. Mary understood a need. Christ was going to the cross. On that cross, he was going to die for her sins and your sins and my sins. And if his body was going to be anointed, it had to be anointed before he went to the cross. And it was right for his body to be anointed. And he was there in that house. She understood that. And it was right for his body to be anointed. And within her means, she had the need to anoint his body. But there's a decision she had to make. To give it or not give it. To break the box or to keep the box. And I'll just be honest with you. You read the story, Mary had no hesitation. She had no reservation. She took the box and she anointed and she poured it on his body. And you know what? They said that she's foolish. They said she's wasteful. People got indignant. You know, many times, and I tell our people this, would you raise your child for God to call him to go to the mission field? Oh, I want my son to be a doctor. Nothing wrong with being a doctor. But I said, would you raise, listen, the Bible said train up a child in the way and he or she should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart. You know why I believe that we're having so many young people rebel? Because mom and dad raise them in a way, raise them up in a way they want them to go, and not the way God wants them to go. And there's a difference. There's a difference. Listen, everything you have and everything I have, God has entrusted it with us. We're only stewards of it. God, listen, God wants to use this local church to reach the world. You said, how? That's God's business. Be available. Be available. Mary hadn't sat down and planned, and Mary hadn't decided what she'd do. Mary understood a truth, and here was a need, and she could meet the need, and by God's grace, she met the need. They called her foolish. They called her wasteful. They got indignant. But you know, are we not the ones who preach? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Aren't we the ones? Listen, we said here this morning, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll never experience the wrath of God. You're under the blood. You're heaven bound. You're as sure as for heaven today if you're saved as you're already there, beloved. But what about those who have not heard? What about them? If you were where they're at, knowing what you know, would you want somebody from here to bring you what you have so they could know what you know so they could have what you have? Would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to sin? That's the commission. That is the Great Commission. We must be involved in world evangelization. This local church must be involved in world evangelization. You said, when do you begin? When you begin, that's when you begin. Oh, they'll call you wasteful. They'll call you foolish. Again, my time's gone, but I want to challenge you to read Christian biographies of men and women in days of old who've given their life to get the gospel. And churches sent. Read Acts 13:1-5, and see how that church sent them out. Let me give you the last thought. It's also found in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 8. I draw your attention to the little statement, what Jesus said about Mary. She's done what she could. Isn't that simple? You don't have to know the Greek and the Hebrew to understand that. She done what she could. Now let me say this, and there's other things we could say, but I just want to very quickly close. You don't have to worry about answering to God for what you can't do. But have you done what you could? God will never lay a burden on this pastor's heart to bring to this flock that he can't meet the need from this flock if we'll just do what we can. You can reach your Jerusalem, and you can be a witness in your Judea, and you can be a witness in your Samaria, and you can be a witness throughout the regions beyond into the world. And one day, there's a lot of things I'd like to say to you. And one day, there'll be people in heaven. Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, I didn't desire gift from you, but he said, I desired fruit that may abound to your account. That's what missions is all about. Getting the gospel. And all people will pray. And thank God for churches that sends missionaries and gets some gospel and the printed word and whatever it is. And she done what she could. I want to close with this story. Years ago, I went to Mexico City with a group called Bearing Precious Seeds. And their ministry was to print the word of God and give it away. You know, the word is for the world. But the world can't have it if we don't get it to them. And there was a ministry, and they were members of the First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. And this couple was a very young couple, and they were on this group, and we were taking 2 tons of scripture to Mexico City to pass out. One night we were going from Monterrey, Mexico, down to Mexico City, and you drive out through the desert and the mountains, and it's very barren and a very long road. And was driving all night. And, of course, the bus was just full of Christians, so we were singing and preaching and testifying. And Brother Carlos Demers asked this couple if they would give their testimony. And they said because nobody was on the bus from their church, they would. Now, Charlie was driving the bus. Lynn, his wife, gave this testimony. Now, when I met this couple, now this was back in 1977. We run into a couple that knew them just a few weeks ago, and they're still going on for the Lord. But I met this couple in 77. They're a very young couple, probably in their late 20s or early 30s. And they give this testimony. They were a member of the First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, a church that was printing the scripture by tons and giving away the Bible. They'd send missionaries, and they're still doing it. Bibles and books of Romans and John, just getting out the word. Charlie was a farmer, and they farmed a lot of land. As a young man had come and worked for Charlie, as a teenage boy, he had learned how to plow the field and to sow the crop and to harvest the crop. And he decided he wanted to go out on his own and start his own life. And so he asked Charlie and Lynn to help him, and they did. At the age of 24, this young man got cancer and he died. Because of their kindness and their goodness to help him, unknowing to them, they had made them the beneficiary of an insurance policy that was worth $24,000. Now, this was a long time ago, and that was a lot of money. And here was a young couple. They went to church that morning, and their pastor had got up, and he had said, "Now, church, we must pay off this press we just bought. It's time to pay it off. We need $24,000. You pray and ask God what he'd have you to do. That's all I'm asking." On their way home, they began to talk, and he said, "You know, Lynn," he said, "when we got the check, I knew it wasn't ours. Now, legally it was. You know what I'm saying." And she said, "You know, I felt the same way." They prayed about it, turned around, went back to the church, told the pastor what had happened, and they said, "We want to give the $24,000. You know, I listened to that story, and I thought, Lord, how many Christians do you have that you can trust with $24,000? I mean, if they'd give a tithe, that'd been honest. If they'd give an offering, why, they'd probably got their name put on every pew in the church. But God trusted them for 24,000. You know, Charlie wasn't a Sunday school teacher. He wasn't a person who could speak publicly. Lynn, they were a young couple. But they were a couple that God could use to send $24,000 through to buy a press to print Bibles. Now listen, they done what they could. And that's what Jesus said about Mary. Simple story. She understood a spiritual truth. No sacrifice was too great to make. And Jesus said, she's done what she could. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray this morning, you birthed this church into existence. You give them a pastor that believes the word of God. Oh Lord, they're to be a witness in the Jerusalem, but they are also to be in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. Oh, I know. I listen to them sing. I've watched the expression on their face. They're grateful to God for your grace that you bestowed upon them. I sense that. I believe that. They didn't have to be born in this town where they have a preacher. That they can bring their children, they can hear the pure, unadulterated word of God. But Lord, there's a world that needs Christ. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts as only God can speak to the hearts of you people. And we'll listen. And we'll obey. Do great things for Christ's sake through this church. In Jesus' name, we'll ask the pastor to come.